Before we begin our Bible study, we'd like to pray. Would you join with me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. There are times of testing when we are tempted to either give up or to give in, and everyone will face those times. Yeshua himself had to walk through a time of testing. He said, "Father, take this cup from me." He prayed that way when he was waiting in the garden. You remember the night. It was right after he'd celebrated that last Passover with his disciples. He anticipated what was about to happen. He was going to be arrested. He was going to be tried unjustly and convicted and then crucified. But he knew the secret plan of the Father through all of this, that he would become the atoning sacrifice for the whole world for all time. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, we hear the prayer of Yeshua. "Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me." When you are being tested, the first thought you might have is, "Take this away from me." But Yeshua didn't stop in his prayer as he was talking intimately and honestly with the Father. He said something else. He said, "But I want your will to be done, not mine." During times of testing, we discover whether we want God's will or our own will. In the garden earlier, Yeshua told his disciples to be very careful not to fall into temptation. And he wasn't warning them about lustful thoughts or gluttony and things like that. He was talking to them about the temptation that comes during times of testing. You might ask yourself what kind of temptation they actually faced. I think it was the kind of temptation that Moses faced and Israel faced that's described in the Torah portion this week. If you have your Bibles with you, would you show me? I like to see Bibles. It's a fair showing today. Not bad, not bad. You can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 9, as we start to read from the fifth book of Moses, Devarim, Parshat Devarim. Moses is preparing Israel for what's ahead. Everything's about to change. And chapter 1, verse 9, he reminds Israel. He said, "I spoke to you before and I said, I am not able to bear you." Moses had talked to the Lord and he said, I can't handle this. How old was Moses when he was doing this work with Israel? He was 80 years old. He wasn't drawing Social Security. He wasn't in retirement. He was actively working. And he said, "I can't handle this." And he said to the people, "I can't handle you." He said, "I'm in over my head." In verse 12, we see three things he identified. "How can I by myself bear your problems and your burdens and your complaints?" So Moses felt he was in over his head. Have you ever felt that way? That you can't take it anymore. You can't handle this. Yeshua felt that way in the garden. "Father, if you're willing, take this from me." Moses understood the workload was just too much, so he spread out the workload. And he describes how he did it. And you would think, okay, well, that solves it. Now you got a lot of people, many hands, many hearts, good, wise, people of understanding involved. And it helped, but it helped for a while. And then another challenge came up, the challenge of moving forward. the challenge of taking possession of the land and the future that God had promised Israel. And so in verse 19, Moses is describing and recounting what happened. He said, we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, this is verse 20, you've come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you, do not fear or be discouraged. Now this, I think, this last phrase, do not fear or be discouraged, captures the temptation of those who are going through times of testing. When Yeshua warned his disciples, do not give in to temptation, I think he was talking about this kind of temptation. Don't give in to fear and don't give in to discouragement. They had to wrestle with the fact that everything would change. It would look like defeat when in fact it was victory. It looked like humiliation when in fact it was God's secret plan for the future for Yeshua to die and be raised from the dead. In the same way, Israel has been in the wilderness, and fear and discouragement are great temptations to the people. Verse 22, every one of you came near to me and you said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us, look at the details, of the way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we shall come. You see, the purpose of the spies sent out was to bring back military intelligence and information that would help Israel understand how to go into the land and what the land was actually like. The purpose of the spies was to help the people take possession of the land. Do you see that? Verse 23, Moses says, the plan pleased me well. And so I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, and they departed and went up into the mountains, and they came to the valley of Eshkol, and they spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands, and they brought it back to us. And they brought word back to us, and they said, it's a good land which the Lord your God, Lord our God, is giving us. You see, it was a good report on one hand, but they also brought back discouragement and fear. 10 of the spies could not hold on to God's plan, and they could only see the difficulty that was ahead. And as a result, discouragement and fear spread. Verse 26, nevertheless, Israel, you would not go up, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you complained in your tents, and you said, because the Lord hates us, he's brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we've seen the sons of the Anakim, the giants there. So at this point, Moses is reminding Israel of the response, that fear set in, complaining set in, rebellion set in, discouragement set in. You see, there are two ways of facing problems and difficulties that are in front of us. One is to see them as a challenge with a promise of victory. God was saying, you can do this. And the other way of seeing the problems is that they are just problems that have with them the certainty of defeat and failure. Verse 29, Moses says, I said to you, don't be terrified or afraid of them. You see how fear can stop you? Fear can stop you even when you're about to be victorious. He went on, verse 30. And he described to Israel, where do you get the power to go into the land like this? It's a question each one of us should ask ourselves. If you're wanting to move forward in life, where do you get the power to do it, especially if you've been in the wilderness? Have you ever been in the wilderness spiritually? I mean, sometimes it just feels like the whole world's in a wilderness right now. But the wilderness is a time of challenge, it's a time of difficulty, but a time of opportunity. And Moses says, if you want to get through the wilderness to the other side, to the destination, listen to this. You know, you can get so used to the wilderness, you think that's where you should be. And that's where everybody should be. And it's just part of the journey. So Moses says, the Lord your God, who goes before you, he will fight for you. Where will we get the power? It will be from the Lord who does something for us. And he goes further and he says, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. In other words, remember what God has done. Remember how he's protected you and defended you, how he got us out of Egypt. You see, sometimes when people get out of a difficult spot, they think that they're immediately going to be in the land of promise. And there was a 40-year journey from the freedom from Egypt into the land of the promise. And I can tell you, life is like that. You're on a journey too. And God may speak to you a word of promise, and you're moving in it, and hallelujah, and praise God, and amen, it's going to be great. And you take a step forward, and you find you're not in Egypt anymore, but you are in the wilderness, not the promised land. And you're going to have to make your way through the wilderness to get to the promised land. What is the wilderness? It's many things, but one of the things it is, the wilderness is what separates the old place that you came out of from the new place you're coming into. And it's a place of testing to see, are you up for the new place? And if you're not willing to go through that wilderness and get to the other side, you will not get the destination. Over the years, Sandy and I have traveled more than we need to, more than we could bear. There were times when we spent 200 plus nights a year out of our home, traveling, sleeping in trains on Ukraine, snow blowing through the window. She was reminding me last night, one particular trip we took. It was so cold on the train and the windows didn't seal. It was the middle of winter, and snow was blowing into the compartment all night. And by the time, it was hard to sleep. It was that cold. And when we woke up in the morning, there was a layer of snow in the room, inside the train. And that was the blessing we had in traveling. And I can tell you, we got to the place where we didn't like traveling. We didn't mind getting to where we needed to go, but we didn't want to have to get there by going. The allure of traveling, it's gone. And anybody who's been on the road a lot in business or for military or whatever, you know something about that. You know that it's not a great joy, but you bear with it in order to get there. The wilderness is like that. You have to go through the wilderness to get to the next place. Moses says, remember what God did for you. You saw what he did for you. You don't have to just hear what someone else says. It's what you saw with your own eyes. Verse 31, he says, in the wilderness, you saw how the Lord your God carried you the same way a man carries his son, and all the way that you went until you came to this place. So Moses is saying the secret to power is to remember God goes before you, and remember he loves you like a father who would carry his little boy in his own arms. You're not making it through the wilderness on your own. God is with you, and he's fighting for you. Let him fight for you. And then verse 32, and yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God. You see, this is a battle of faith. It's a battle to trust God, because God is the key to your victory. And staying with him as you go through the wilderness is a key. He did not give Israel a map. He led Israel. He told them some parts of the destination, but the only way they could go on their journey is to let him lead them. He didn't ask for a team to gather together to figure out the shortest route. He knew things they didn't know. He knew things they needed to experience that would prepare them forever. And he knew that this was not just about one generation. It was about all generations. And so it wasn't just what is good and convenient for this group of people that's coming out of Egypt, but what will shape Israel forever and what will give a foundation for the whole world about what faith would look like to follow God. The Lord went before Israel, Moses says in verse 33, and he would search out a place for you to pitch your tents to show you the way you should go through the fire by night and the cloud by day. The wilderness was tough on Moses. That's why he started by saying, do you remember when I said, I can't handle you and I can't handle this? It was still tough on him. And it will always be tough on the leaders and the shepherds of Israel. It will always be tough. And given the opportunity, if you ask any one of us, do you ever feel like you can't handle it? We'll say, when do I not feel that way? And you may in your life feel that way too. You may feel life is more than you can handle, but that's okay. Because even with all the pressure, even with the challenge, the Lord is doing something. He puts us, every one of us, in a position where we need what we cannot provide for ourselves so that we learn to depend on him. Yeshua taught us by his response, not my will be done, but your will. That's the key. It's not how you just think about suffering, but how you think about God's will. Because during temptation, during trials and difficulties, we are vulnerable to wanting our will more than the Lord's will. Every time we say, this is too hard, we're saying to God, make it easier, buddy. Fix this. Now we come to a significant passage. It's Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 31. I really want to emphasize this. Moses again, the Lord said to me, see, I've begun to give Sihon and Sihon and his land over to you, the king of Sihon and his kingdom over to you. Say these words with me. See, I have begun. Now let's take it further. See, I have begun to give you. I have begun to give you. I have begun to give you. That's English, isn't it? I have begun. The Lord says, I've begun to give it to you. You know, sometimes we think that when the Lord makes a promise that we will have it all right then and right there. Do you ever feel like that? I got a promise from the Lord. It's done. Yeah, it's done. In just a minute. It's done. But there are times when that minute is 40 years. The wilderness that Israel went through was a 40-year wilderness. And you may have to go through times and seasons yourself where you have to endure. And you have to endure. And you can endure. And it's really critical to understand that God begins to give. He doesn't turn over everything. Years ago, one of my attorneys was a young man, but his future held out for him great wealth. His grandfather had been a successful owner of prominent media in the Washington area and made millions and millions of dollars and had been involved in investing that money and had accumulated a huge fortune. And so he decided that when he died, he would give his children and his grandchildren an inheritance. But for his grandchildren, he had this proviso: you won't receive anything until you're 40 years old. And so they were broke unless they made their own living for all those 40 years. Can you imagine the promise of millions, the certainty of millions, but you got to get through this time of nothing until you get it? But I'm rich. No, you're not. You're broke. But I've got the promise of the land of Israel. Yeah, but you're in the wilderness. You're eating manna every day. You don't even get to cook. No pastrami. No latkes. I've begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. And then look at the second part of verse 31. Begin to possess it so that you may inherit his land. You see, the Lord says, I have begun to give it to you. You begin to possess it. One of the reasons why we're going to have picnics on Saturdays in August and celebrate around our second building, the cafe that we have yet to build out, is so that we can begin to possess it. You know what we all wanted? We wanted to possess it like that, didn't you? I did. Don't you? I do. But you don't possess everything that way. Some things you begin to possess. How many of you have moved into a house and you still haven't unpacked all your boxes? How many of boxes that are equal to mine that are not unpacked that are more than 7 years old? Anyone has some more than seven? Anybody have 10? 10? Okay. I'm not even going to go beyond that. You see, sometimes we begin to possess, but we can't unbox everything. We got to keep some things boxed up. We've got to wait. Possession of the blessings of God is usually progressive. The promise may be absolute, but the experience of receiving the promise may take time. You know, we have to get it in our minds that possession of the promises will require our own continual moving forward to begin to possess. Why is it that when people are on the verge of the breakthrough, they're most tempted to give up? Why is it? And I'll tell you why I think it is. It's because the two temptations, fear and discouragement, have gotten a hold of them, and they've started looking backwards to measure the future. And they measure the whole space, and they say, it's been too rough. And so the next part will be too. And so they project onto the future the difficulty they experienced in the past. In other words, they lose sight of the promise, and they hold on to the wilderness. Their yes and amen is to the wilderness being forever, whether it's intentional or not. They think that's the way the future will be. And Moses is saying to Israel, I can't take it. Thank God I'm with him. Isn't it interesting to think maybe about this in another light, that Moses said, you know, it's enough. And the Lord said, yeah, it is. Your time's up. You know, because we don't see Moses arguing. You know, like, what? I want to go in the land after all. It's like, okay, good. Whew. But I tell you one thing. Moses didn't lose sight of the promise. He understood the promise. He held on to the promise, and he committed to Israel, you will receive the promise if you begin to possess it. Learn from every struggle you've had and keep going forward. Don't give in to fear and to discouragement. The Lord says, I have begun, now you begin. And if the Lord begins and you don't begin, guess what? You will not get. It will not be yours. You know, sometimes we have fantasies about the way life would be. We think God makes a promise, it's a certain promise, and so I immediately will get it. And God calls you, he tells you the promise, and you forget that between point A and point B are thousands of unnamed points that you're going to have to walk through that he didn't tell you about. Once the Lord was showing Sandy something about our future and presented like a contract to her and said that she should sign it. And so she agreed, and then she realized she signed, but she didn't even know what the terms were. And the Lord basically said, that's the deal. You can trust me and count on me, but that doesn't mean you get to know all the terms and all the details. Last night I was thinking about the way we can be. We can have the mindset of an adult who goes to a great amusement park with teenagers who are really excited to be on every ride. And they're thrilled. You know, that they get to do all this stuff. They got the unlimited pass. They can do it all. And we look at all the fun that everyone's having, and we just get caught up in it. And somehow we find ourselves in line with them to get on a roller coaster. Not thinking about what it will mean. Remembering one of those wooden roller coasters from our youth. Yeah. You know, ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk as you go up. And the kids are, wow, this is exciting. I can't believe Dad's doing this with us. And you get on that roller coaster and you start ascending and you're thinking, what? This is a lot higher than it looks. And then you see off in the terrible distance that this roller coaster makes loop-de-loops. At the very end, after you've cried and prayed longer than you have for a season, you get off the roller coaster at the end and you can barely walk. And you say to yourself, that was the worst experience of my life. And the kids say, let's go again, right? You see, two different perspectives on terror. One is, this is exciting, let's go through it. We'll survive. And the other one is, I can't take it anymore. Let's go home early. And sometimes we think that life is just a simple, easy amusement park and you're going to go through it and you forget the terror of the roller coaster. But I can assure you of this, it's there. It's there. And not only is it there, but in God's amusement park, it's a mandatory ride. You know, at some of these amusement parks, they say, you know, no pregnant women, no one under this, you know, who's shorter than this line, no one with heart problems. And you can go, oh, I feel something. I don't think I can go. But in the wilderness, every one of us goes through. Every one of us. And God says, don't be afraid. And the Lord only says, don't be afraid when we are facing fearful circumstances and situations. Who's afraid of Ben and Jerry's ice cream? And what is the fear? Adding more. Yeah, my fear is eating the whole thing. It only has one top. It must be one serving. You see, there are many things in life we don't need to be afraid of and we're not afraid of, but life itself is challenging, and the part of the journey that's in the wilderness is very challenging. Talking to this young lady who's dear friend has come to Yeshua, the son of the rabbi, she faced challenges. You can give in to fear. You can think, oh, the only way I can make this work is if I make it work. And God is actually the one who makes many things work, as she has discovered. There are times when God wants you to know that you're going to receive a promise and to hold on to it, and to understand that the season has come for you to begin to possess it, because God is beginning to give it to you. And then it's necessary to get it in your mind and get it in your heart. I will begin to possess what he's wanting to give me now. I will begin to possess it. He's beginning to give it to me. I'm beginning to possess it. And it is so important for us at this time to begin to possess what God is promising to us. And you think about what causes people to give up, what causes them to want to give up instead of going forward, and to give up on the goal and to stop pursuing the goal. You see, sometimes if you have victory when you're in the wilderness, you will want to stay put there. You'll want to camp at that place and say, this is far enough. This is good enough. It's a lot better than it was. And you want to stay placed. But the wilderness is part of the journey. It's not the destination. It's not the goal. And God is calling us to keep moving forward. Why do people want to give up right before the breakthrough? Because they lose sight of the promise and what it will take to keep going to get it. Some people confuse where they are with where they've been. And they don't realize they are now at the edge of night, and the dawn is about to break. And if they can hold steady and keep going, you know what? The sun's going to shine. The breakthrough is going to come. Some of you are about to experience breakthroughs in your life, and you're being tempted to give up, to give in, or to go back. Several years ago, the Lord gave a word to my wife, had three parts. Don't go back the way you came. And that meant, as she understood it, don't give up on the goal and return to the old ways. The next one was, don't go the way everyone else is going. You have to know what God's called you to and hold firm to your goals and your destination. And the third one was, do the unthinkable. Because sometimes what is unthinkable is necessary to get the great things that God is wanting for you. That's why Moses could speak in such a way. And I know Moses would understand that if you asked him, what does it mean, don't go back the way you came? He said, Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. Israel wanted to go back to being a slave nation without law, without direct leadership from the Lord, without submission to the Lord, without having to deal with the problems of life, being a subjugated nation, a broken nation. What does it mean, don't go the way everyone else is going? Well, everybody wants to go the fastest way to get out of difficulty. The Lord has his own circuits for his own reasons. He gave a glimpse. The iniquity of the Amorites hasn't been complete. Don't go into that land. I've got to finish with them before I start with you. Because if you go in early, you won't come out alive. Because you don't even know the trouble you're going into. If you ask Moses, do you understand what it means, do the unthinkable? He said, my whole life has been unthinkable. He would understand that. As we move forward in life with Messiah, we go through times of adversity and times of waiting and times of testing and times of seeing that God can provide what we cannot provide for ourselves. And these are meant to become times of intimacy and closeness with God and times of building of community together, where we learn to be tough together in tough times, but tender together with the Lord and with one another. Don't give up. Don't give in. Many of you are at the edge of night. The darkness is almost over. one caution. Some of you have received a word from the Lord that you'll have 7 years of lack. And maybe you're in year one. I just say hunker down. Go through it. But others of you, you're actually near the end of the difficult period. And you know it. And how do you know it? Because the Spirit of God has been telling you. The Spirit of God has been speaking that to you, and it's bearing witness in your spirit, and you know. And that's how you know that you know. And I want to encourage you, hold on to that. Don't give up. If the Lord says it's going to take 10 generations, listen, your part's just a little one, but a necessary part. But if the Lord says you're about to get the breakthrough, don't give up. The Lord has something for you. Your heart has to know. Your heart can know. Don't give in to fear and don't give in to discouragement. You have been given a covenant of peace, of God's peace, and that will protect you. I want to pray for everyone who needs peace in order to get through the next few months. Anybody need extra peace? Let me pray for you. Lord, it's your peace that you're offering to us. You've made a covenant of peace with us, with your own peace. You've offered to share it with us. We need it. We want to persevere. We want to continue. We want to go forward, Lord. We believe that you're the God of promise. And we are not intimidated by the wilderness. We understand you break through for us. You got us out of Egypt, and you will get us to the land of promise, and we are grateful for that. We bless you, Lord. I pray for your refilling of motivation and power and strength, that you would pour down power from on high into us, that we would see that it's time to begin to possess, and that we would take action to begin to possess, and that we would do it in your name, with your power, submitted to your leadership, so that it is all for your glory. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to ask the men who came forward to share, serve us, Seudat HaMashiach. Would you come down right now? I want you all to stand with me. We want to pray. Aaron's blessing. Come on down quickly, so that people don't have to wait. Yeah, don't wait for someone else. Come on. Stand with me and let's pray. Come on up. Yivarechecha Adonai. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Join us for Oneg.